We are going to have three scripture readings. The first one is going to come from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. As we have been working through chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, there's a certain perspective that the author of Hebrews is coming from. And one way for you to help us interpret and know the point that the author of Hebrews wishes to make is that you compare what he has said in Hebrews to other places where the same thing is talked about in the Bible. And today we are going to look at Abraham. We are going to begin the section on Abraham. And I'm going to read a section from Genesis 12, a section from the book of Acts, and then finally our text. And I want you to listen carefully and to look carefully and to try to distinguish on your own through the scripture reading what areas the author of Hebrews has emphasized and what areas he has changed or used to make his point. Our first reading this morning is from Genesis 12, and I will read Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and all the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. The Canaanites were then in the land, but the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, you have the sermon or the message that Stephen, the deacon Stephen, who later was stoned, gave to those who had seized him to stop his preaching or teaching of Christ. And in this speech in Acts 7, verses 2 through 8, he reviews the history of Abraham. Acts 7, verse 2. To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you." So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, "Your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves," God said, "and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place." Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Now turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be reading the verses 8 through 10. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking toward the city. He was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. As I said a moment ago, our scripture reading was from three different passages. And the reason we did that is because this morning we want to focus on the message of Hebrews, because the author of Hebrews has included this section about Abraham in here for a specific reason, different than the other parts of the Bible which talk about Abraham. You remember that in this section of Hebrews, the author is talking about faith. And the faith he is talking about is faith not as the Apostle Paul described faith, faith thinking back to the death and resurrection of Christ. He is thinking, in 11 verse 1, about faith that is present and faith that is future. This faith is faith that as you live in the present world, you have a vertical connection to heaven. You live knowing that you are on this earth, but your hope is in the future in heaven. And even though there's a horizontal line, because you look forward to the future, there is still, as you live in the present, a certain knowledge that there is something in the future, as New Testament believers would say, that we belong to Christ, our souls are there as we live on this earth. And now the author begins to talk about Abraham. Now you will notice that in this chapter, as he's discussing all the different people, look how much space he gives to Abraham. Noah got one verse, verse 7. Abraham gets verses 8 all the way through verse 19. Abraham's faith, the author of Hebrews, describing the people of great faith in the Old Testament, Abraham gets 11 verses, Noah gets one verse. To the people of his day, and maybe I would say even to the people of our day, Abraham in the Old Testament, when you think of Abraham, you think of a man of faith. And so the author has given us all of these verses to describe Abraham. And this first story that he gives us of Abraham is a very, very interesting story. It is the story of the call of Abraham. And let's together take a look at this Abraham and his call and the model of his faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, as you look at that verse, and as you think back to the chapters we read in Genesis and in Acts, there are two things which stand out that are exactly the same that the author of Hebrews has included. He says that Abraham was called. Genesis talks about Abraham being called. So does Acts. He says that not only was Abraham called, but he departed, or he went. You can see that is also included in Hebrews, and it was included in Acts and in Genesis. But there is a word in here that the author of Hebrews has included, which is not included in the other two accounts. And that is the word obeyed. Some commentators, some people, will stress that word obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And they put so much emphasis on the fact that Abraham obeyed that they credit the faith of Abraham to his obedience. In other words, Abraham became righteous. Abraham became a man of faith because he obeyed. But we have to put our Reformed doctrine to our understanding of this passage. And so maybe it would help you if you took a look at page 871 in the back of your hymnals. 871 in the back of your hymnals. And if you take a look with me at question and answer 31 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, page 871. And there it tells us in question 31 of page 871, what is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. When Abraham lived, Jesus Christ had not yet come. But Abraham was called. And what happened when Abraham heard the call of God? Abraham was effectually called. And as our catechism says, it was the work of God's Spirit that called him out of that land. God's Spirit convinced him, as you're looking in your catechism, convinced him of his sin and his misery. God's Spirit convinced him that as he lived in that land of wealth, that land of his home, the land of his fathers and the gods of his fathers, that this was not the place where he could live. He was convinced not only of that, but convinced that the place where he lived was full of sin, that it was misery, and that he was a sinner. And so when the God, the true God, called him, his mind, as it says in our catechism again, was enlightened with the knowledge of a greater world. The knowledge that someday Abraham needed a Savior because he was a sinner. And so what happened to Abraham, as you read further in our catechism? His will was renewed. He was persuaded and enabled to leave. And we'll come back to this question pretty soon. But he was persuaded and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to him by God. Abraham, Jesus Christ had not come yet, but Abraham knew that there was something greater than this country that he lived in and this place where he lived. Abraham was called by God. Now, do you see the stress on the obedience? He's put the word obedient in here, but the credit still goes to God. Abraham was called, and Abraham followed and obeyed, and he went. But there's still an emphasis here that the author is making on Abraham's obedience. The other two passages did not mention Abraham's obedience. They just said Abraham was called and he left. The author of Hebrews has a point. The point that he is making is that this obedience of Abraham, this calling of Abraham, is still something that Abraham did. Yes, God effectually called him, but unlike the other passages which stress the call of God, God called Abraham, as it says in Genesis, God called Abraham, as it says in Acts, by faith, Abraham acted. The author of Hebrews is stressing the faith of Abraham. And it wasn't easy for Abraham to obey. Don't underestimate that. Here is Abraham, living in this place where he knows all his friends, where he is familiar with all the customs, where his family is, where he has made a living, because the land in which he was living was a wealthy land at that particular point in history, where his fathers worshipped. Abraham was called from that. Even today, when we think about moving, How many people don't we talk to who dread moving? Getting a truck, loading up everything out of your house, putting it in this truck, going to another place, making new friends, leaving your church, leaving your family, all of these things. To move is not an easy thing to do. Well, God called Abraham to move. God called him to leave this place. But when we move, we always kind of know where we're going. Look what it says about Abraham. Abraham, at the end of this verse, went and obeyed, even though he did not know where he was going. God called him to leave this place, even though he didn't know where he was going. He didn't have any idea where God was taking him to. God called him, God worked on his heart, God enabled him to know that he had to leave, that this place where he was living was not a community of God, that he had to leave that place, but he didn't know where he was going. That, says the author of Hebrews, takes faith. That is faith that the God of heaven that has come down and revealed himself to Abraham and has worked in his heart in the present, that you have faith in the future, that even though you don't know where you are going, you trust God. And Abraham, says the author of Hebrews, obeyed. Now let's look a little bit closer at this verse, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, it says, when called to go to a place. When you read in the book of Genesis and in the book of Acts, both places mention that when Abraham was called, he was called to go to a land on this earth, another land in which he could dwell. But what is the author of Hebrews saying? The author of Hebrews saying that he was called to go to a place. The author of Hebrews is saying that the land and the place that Abraham was called to was not a land that we know of, like on this earth, but Abraham had faith in a greater place. This, the author of Hebrews uses the word, is a place. And notice what else he says. He says he would later receive as his inheritance. Now turn back with me for a moment to Acts. Acts chapter 7. Acts 7, if you had your finger in there. And look what it says in verses 4 through 5. Acts 7, 4 through 5. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And after the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance there, not even a foot of ground. Now notice again what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says that by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place, he would later receive as his inheritance. The book of Acts tells us that Abraham never received the inheritance. He never set his foot on the ground. But now the author of Hebrews has said, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. What inheritance is the author of Hebrews talking about? He is pointing out that when Abraham was called, Abraham was not thinking of a land that was here on this earth. Abraham was thinking of an inheritance which was greater than this earth, an inheritance which is in heaven. Abraham was called to go to this place, and Abraham obeyed, Abraham left, Abraham courageously, by faith, lived his life in the present as if he knew the future was coming. But now let's look at verse 9. Notice how Abraham lives. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. It tells us in verse 9 that Abraham made his home in the promised land. But the promised land that Abraham reached on this earth, he was a stranger. All the time that he dwelt on this earth in that land that God had promised him, he was like a stranger, it says, in a foreign country. People did not know him. Everywhere he went, the way he lived, the God he worshipped, was foreign to the other peoples around him. He continued to be a stranger as he moved around and as he lived on this earth. And notice how he lived. In verse 9, it says he lived in tents. Now, how many people don't you talk to when they go camping or they go on a camping trip and they go and they live in tents for a while or they're camping out? They come home and they say, "Wow, I'm finally home. I can enjoy again the privileges of a nice warm shower, of a refrigerator, of the family can be in their own rooms. We're not all crowded again. We're not always moving from place to place as we live." Abraham was called, and he always, from that point on in his life, lived in a tent. He never settled down. Abraham had flocks to take care of. He had families to feed. He had a large group of people that were his servants that lived with him. But he never settled down and said, "Okay, here is the place where we are going to grow our food so that we will know we have food next year. Here is the place where we can have our animals dwell. They can eat here, and we can always know there will be food to feed them." Abraham was always on the move. Abraham lived his life how? By faith. He was a tent dweller. He never had the time and the place where he sat down and he knew, "This is where I'm going to live. This is my home." He was always a stranger. He was always a foreigner. He lived in tents. Now, do you see the picture of Abraham here? God called him from his previous life of sin and misery. God called him from the culture in which he lived in. But God never brought him to the place where God had promised him on this earth. There was no inheritance for him. There was no land that he went to and settled down and said, "Okay, God has called me. I am now in a better place. This is my new home. This is where my friends are. This is where I can dwell." He never reached that point in his life. The rest of his life, he was a tent dweller on this earth. And so how did Abraham have to live in that life? Well, the author of Hebrews tells us. He not only told us that by faith Abraham was called, but he has to say it again in verse 9. After he was called, he also had to live by faith. He never settled down where it was comfortable. He never could grow his own crops in his own place. He never could have his animals dwell in a certain place. He continued to always have to watch all around him. He could never build a wall of a city to protect him from attack from enemies. He had to live his life on this earth by faith as he lived. And not only did Abraham live that way, but verse 9 goes on to tell us, so did Isaac, so did Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham didn't receive it on this earth. Isaac did not receive it, nor did Jacob. Three generations lived under this promise of Abraham, under the call of Abraham. Three generations of tent dwellers. Now we ask, how could Abraham live this way? Verse 10 tells us. for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was not focused on this earth. Abraham knew that as he lived his life on this earth, he would always be a tent dweller, because this earth in which he lived was full of sin. The culture in which he lived as in his former land, as he lived in his new land, was always turned against God. He could never settle down and establish himself on this earth because God had called him from this earth to a greater place, to a city that has foundations, to a city that is not a tent city, which you take up and which you move, but a city that has foundations, which is strong. And who is the builder of this city? It tells us. The architect, the wisdom, the one who designed this city was who? God. The builder of this city, the one who designed it, the one who created it, the one who put it together, who is the one who built this city? God. Abraham knew that the city he saw and lived in on this earth was never going to be his home. It would always be temporary. It would always be miserable. He was always going to have to struggle with sin. He was always going to have to face his enemies. He was always going to have to be unsafe living on this earth, because the city of foundations was in the future. Do you see how Abraham lived his life? The author of Hebrews tells us that Abraham knew he always had to be a tent dweller, because his home was never on earth. Already in the present as he lived, he vertically knew that his home was not here, but his home was the city that God was building in heaven, who was the architect, who was the builder, the city of foundations, which is strong, which is sure, which is permanent, unlike the earth that Abraham dwelled. And Abraham also knew that as he lived, and when he lived in that place in the future, he would not be a foreigner. That would be his home. Now, last week, I mentioned to you that when we look at the scriptures, we don't say that this passage and this story of Abraham is something that happened a long time ago, that this message is written for the Hebrews, and the pastor, his job is to make it modern for the people and bring it to their day and age, because this passage doesn't speak to us today. But this story of Abraham, which has just been described to you, is your story. These three verses are your life. Do you see how it is your life? Who has called you? Well, listen to the catechism. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and our misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. This calling of Abraham from his former land, from the land of sin, from the land of pagan gods, is your calling. God called Abraham to a heavenly city. God is calling you to a heavenly city. God's Spirit has convinced you of your sin and misery. He's convinced you that the world around you is a world that is full of sin, a world which is anti-God, a world which does not love Him, and God has called you from that to be different. He's convinced you that you are a sinner, that you are in misery as you lived before, that your mind has been enlightened to Christ and to the future, and he's enabled you to embrace that. As Abraham was called, so are you called. But notice what it says about an inheritance. Abraham, as he lived, never received his inheritance on this earth. As he lived on this earth, he was always a foreigner. He was always a stranger. He lived in a tent city as he lived, never establishing himself here, because he always knew that the city of foundations was not here on this earth, but it was in heaven. The picture of Abraham wandering around, never settling down on this earth, living and moving from place to place, is the picture of you after your calling. God has called you from that. He's called you from that world, from that former world, from that former way of life, and you now walk around as a stranger. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 32. Actually, verse 33, just back a chapter. This is what the Hebrews were going through. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. The author of Hebrews is saying to his audience, you're going through all this persecution, all of this insult. You've lost your property, but you could do that by faith because you knew that you are a stranger in this world. This is how God's people live. This is how they dwell upon this earth. Turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3. Look what it says for those who have been called and those who have left behind their old way of life. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated in the hand of God, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. With Christ who is your life appears, when Christ who is your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You are a stranger to these things. Are you a stranger to these things? You continually battle as a stranger in this world, fighting off these things. But these things, as Paul has listed them, should be strange to you. They should be foreign to you, because you live in a life in which you have been called, in which you're living in a country which is different, a tent dwelling. Those who establish these things, as Paul has listed them, do not have their mind on the heavenly city, upon Christ, which is for them up above. But they live their lives thinking of the things below. God has called you to be a foreigner. But in Hebrews 11, verse 10, Not only has he called you to be a foreigner on this earth, but it says Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You are called to the future, as the author of Hebrews says, but as you live your life, you live as a foreigner. And it is so tempting for those of us who live here to try to establish ourselves on earth, isn't it? We like to establish ourselves and the things that we have as being comfortable, as giving us comforts on this earth that enable us to relax, to take it easy, to enjoy the present life, and that take our focus off the life that God has for us. The author of Hebrews this morning is calling you to have the faith of Abraham, the faith of a tent dweller as you live on this earth, the knowledge that as you live, this earth is not your home, but your home is in heaven. In Revelation 21, it tells us about this city that God has for us. Revelation 21, it tells us, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" In that holy city that God has for you, there will not be sin. There will not be tears. There will be no more death, as it says, because that is your home. That is the city with foundations. That is the city that is permanent. And Abraham, as he lived his life, he always knew that the earth was never his home. But his home was in that city that God had for them, the city that someday he would be able to be a part of because of what Christ did on the cross. And so this morning, we need to think about, are we tent dwellers? Are we living our lives as foreigners in this culture? Or are we living as people who desires the culture? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the life of Abraham. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at this world around us and know that it is not our home, but that our home is in heaven with you. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful as we live here, to live in such a way that we know that what we have is not permanent, but it is temporary. Lord, we look forward to that day when we can be in that permanent home, in the city that does have foundations. And Lord, as we look around us and as we see people struggling with being foreigners, we pray for them, Lord, that you would help them and work in their hearts to call them from this culture in which we live to a life which is for God, to a life in which the sin that surrounds us is foreign to us, to a life in which we know that our friends, as we come to church, our brothers and sisters of Christ, are our friends. They are the people, Lord, who have in common the knowledge of a greater city. And may we, Lord, as we come to church, as we worship you daily, may we do this with the knowledge that you have us there as your Son, who died on the cross, who saved us. Give us strength, Lord, as we live today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.